Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
Today we're excited. Our apostle is going to be sharing a word with us this morning. And I'm excited for the word that the Lord has laid on his heart. Hopefully I didn't steal too much of his message today. And would you welcome him as he comes?
Well, amen. You know, the worship today, just off the charts. Just a heaviness of the presence of God, not a heaviness in a negative, but powerful. The exaltation of the words that have been given this morning through the worship team, through Brother Lou, Sister Becky, the teaching of Pastor right now, you have received more this morning than most churches will receive in weeks. So let us bow our heads and we'll close in prayer. If I do so, the children upstairs may get mad because they have plans. They like getting together up there. So we hope you like to get together down here. The word that the Lord has dropped on my heart, I actually labored over this word. And I mean, labored not in the sense to get a word. That was the easy part, getting the word. But in just putting it on paper, to bring it, to present it, I feel strongly what the Lord, laid on my heart. In pastoring, there's times where you would know exactly what God wants you to speak. And then there's times that you say, well, you didn't give me nothing else. And from over there up here, you have three sermons. And when you get here, it's almost whichever one opens up is what you preach. But this is a word that I know what the Lord has laid on my heart for us here today. And so before I get into it, just a couple of things. I want to let you know, God gives different gifts and callings to different people. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says that now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The gifts Christ gave to the church, not gifts that man come up with, not ideas or thoughts, but these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostle, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And when we look at that, we would say, why did he get five? Why did he get five different offices or five different positions? And it's because at each of these offices, they have a different call and a different responsibility to the body of Christ. Well, I love my pastor. He's a loving pastor. He shepherds the sheep. He takes care of the sheep. He loves on them, even when they're smelly and stinky and are going through trials. That's the pastor. That's the heart of a pastor. He loves his sheep. He loves his people. The teacher wants to teach the word, wants to take you deeper into that. You know, there's different callings, and the apostle just has a different call upon his life than before. I believe that for most part of my preaching as a pastor is different as my preaching as an apostle because, you get good words. You had a great word just a few moments ago from your pastor teaching, caring for his sheep. So, as I'm thinking on this word this week, I really felt and feel in my heart that that we must have or must develop a boldness and an urgency for the Word of God, especially in the day that we're living in. I believe that we're living in the end times. I believe it's time to tell the truth. I believe it's time to be bold with our walk and our Christian, our faith, that we hold nothing back, but souls are in the balance. Pastor just said, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And we can speak life over you, to you. We can give you words that will bring fulfillment of life, or we can bring words that may sound good, that may tickle your ears, because the scripture says in the last day they will lay up for themselves teachers and preachers that will tickle their ears. But we must be bold, and there's an urgency about that we must be about, and that is about the truth of God's word. So when the pastor got in talking a little bit, I said, all right, come on, you're getting there. That's where we're going to talk about. We're going to be talking a little bit about the truth of God's word. So later today when John gets ready to text me, what's the title of the sermon? The truth of the word of God. So, or you can name it, what is truth? It might be better. What is truth? You know, I know some are struggling today. They're struggling in their personal walk. They're struggling on what is the truth of God's word. Because we hear a lot of messages out there today. And I appreciate the pastor saying, we endorse this one, we don't endorse everybody. Because everybody might not be having the same message. It may sound good, it may make you feel good, but some we don't know, but others that we do know, sometimes that word will not enrich your life or put you on the right path. It'll lead you a little bit astray. It'll lead you in some gray areas, and we want to be bold. We want to show it black and white. So you may be struggling, especially with certain verses of the Bible. You know, new Christians a lot of times struggle with certain verses when they read that and they get their eyes are open. And they say, wow, I never seen that before. Or that's hard. And so we struggle with it. So we struggle with the truth of God's word in like a verse like Matthew chapter 7 verse 23. I'm going to give you several verses. I haven't got to my message yet, but I'll get there. But in this verse it says, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who breaks God's laws. No, Jesus is telling, they're going to knock on the door. Open, let us in. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who breaks God's laws. You know, sometimes people struggle with that. Well, what kind of God we serve? A just God. A righteous God. A God of love, but also a God of law and order, his laws. We must obey his laws. Perhaps the scripture in Romans chapter 3, verse 4, it says, indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. That you may be justified in your words and overcome when you're judged. So, you know, you got to speak the truth. It's time for pastors, preachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, ministers to start speaking the truth of God's word. We can't speak what we think will tickle the ears. We can't speak what we think will build our church in great numbers. We've got to speak the truth of God's word. And that's what I'm about. I'm about to speak the truth. And that's what we've always at this church, and that's what we've taught and trained up our son to do, to speak the truth of God's word. We speak it in as much love and compassion that we can, but sometimes it doesn't feel like love and compassion. Sometimes it feels like I just went to the whooping shed. But you know, God chastens those he loves. He chastens those he loves. God wants you to know the truth. God doesn't want you to get to heaven and found out that you lived your life on a lie that didn't lead to heaven. You're going to get up there. You're going to get to maybe look through the gate, through the crack. Like, man, that looks good in there. But does the door open? Does he say, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome into the kingdom. So, many waver. Many waver at the truth of God's word. And, you know, I'm not just talking to the church, but many waver. I'm talking about ministers, preachers, evangelists, pastors. They waver with God's word. They teach one thing, say one thing, and turn around and just something opposite. Sister Becky, she made the donut run this morning, and she came back, and she said, I was listening to a preacher on the radio on the way up there, and boy, he was telling the truth. He was telling about salvation and that you're saved by the grace of God and not the works, but it's by faith in God. But then she said, he got over and started talking about, well, it can be a he, she, or it can be this or that. No. Preachers can't say that. God created them male and female. He created them to multiply and produce. Now, there's a lot of good people that have got false teachings and have believed the lie. But God's word, I've created them, male and female. And so, you know, that may not fancy everybody. That may not, well, you know, I used to believe that, but it's hard to believe that nowadays that I have children and teenagers and grandkids that are different. Well, I'm sorry. I have those in our family also. But the truth of God's word is we have to live righteous. So, just getting all that out of the way. Well, actually, I haven't gotten it all out of the way yet. Let me say another verse. There may be the scripture is bothersome to a lot of folks. But I just want to, since it's the word of God, I want to give it to you because it's true. It's not a lie. God wasn't saying this and meaning something else. He was saying this meaning what he said. This Bible is true. You know, I cut my teeth on believing. This is the word of God. I am what it says I am. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. This is the word of God. And I used to think, this is the word of God, and I believe it. So it's true. It settles it. But you know, it doesn't matter whether I believe it or not, it's still true. It's true. You're not going to find this Bible not to be true. But in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. It says, when you follow, as this is in the New Living Translation, when you follow the desires of your nature, of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. So in other words, there's no, you know, what I wonder what's going to come. But here's what it says. The results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, self-ambitions, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I've underlined two parts. The first part, the results are very clear. Anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. The word is not mingled. The word is not taken or written in a way that we can't understand it. It's very clear. It's very clear. So today, I want to talk about two subjects. I want to talk about His kingdom and truth. Now, we've just finished Passion Week. We've read the stories of Christ and how He was trialed and went from here to there, and how He was taken to Pilate. And then this week, Sister Becky and I, we watched the Passion of Christ by Mel Gibson. Each time of this past week in my readings and also in watching the movie, two things really jumped out at me in the passages. And I'm going to pick it up in John chapter 18. We're going to go to verse 35, and I'm going to start there for just four verses here. And I want to read these four verses, and I want us to meditate and think on those today. So picking it up in John 18, beginning in 35, Pilate says, "Your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for trial." Your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for trial. Why? What have you done? We're going to take our time. I just want you to listen to what Pilate asked Jesus. First, he said, Jesus comes before Pilate to be tried at a trial. And Pilate notices who brought him there. It's your own people. And the leaders, the ones last week, the week before today, were waving the palm branches and laying their coats and saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna." They were worshiping him. And then he says, "These people have brought you here. Why? What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom." Two kingdoms we're going to be talking about today a little bit. We're going to be talking about God's kingdom and the earthly kingdom. "If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders." If it was a worldly kingdom, an earthly kingdom, we would act in an earthly manner. We would fight. We would do things. We would protest. That's a good word today. They would have protested. "But my kingdom is not of this world." And Pilate said, "So you are a king?" Jesus responded, "You say I am a king. Actually, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize what I say is true." And then Pilate's famous words, "What is truth? What is truth?" And we have to ask ourselves, what is truth? And I read you the verse earlier that let God be true, true truth, and every man a liar. What's that mean? Any man that contradicts this word, twists this word to change this word, is a liar. No matter how popular it is to say it. No matter how it's going to please somebody if you twist it. We got to speak truth. We've got to speak truth. There are going to be, on Judgment Day, there will be people that stand at the gate of heaven, at the judgment throne of the Father. And they will say, but my pastor said this. Well, naturally, the guilt of their sin will be much worse. Their punishment will be much worse for leading. Because the Bible says it will be better that a millstone thrown around their neck than to harm or to judge one of these little ones, to cause someone to sin, to cause someone to stumble. I may not be the most popular pastor or preacher or apostle, and I may not get another invitation. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you what God's Word says. Because when I stand before my judge, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You told him the truth. He may have some other issues because I'm not a perfect man. But on that account, I'm going to tell you the truth. So when we think about this verse, your own people and leaders are putting you on trial. And why? What have you done, he asked. And, you know, was it because Jesus was making them see their own sins? Every teaching and everything that Jesus did revealed to them whether they were righteous or sinful. Many times people get upset with the preacher because it reveals a sin. You know, in John chapter 8, verses 6 through 8, the leaders, the ones that put him on trial, they brought the woman that was caught in an adulterous act, and they wanted Jesus to judge. And they all had stones ready to stone her. And Jesus says, you without sin cast the first stone. And then he knelt down and he started writing in the dirt. And when he got up, they dropped their stones and they went away. The great question that all preachers want to ask God, Jesus, what'd you write in that dirt? I'm not going to ask him that because he might nail down and start writing some of mine. I thank God that they're forgiven under the blood of Jesus Christ, that I'm made new. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. But Jesus, he knelt and he convicted them. He convicted them of their sins. If you go to a church, I don't care what church, how big a church, how fancy of a church, or how small of a church, if you don't leave feeling convicted from sin, you've been at the wrong place. The church is a healing place, a place for people, for sinners, to get their hearts healed. It's a place that we can come and be made right with God. Not a place that, oh, well, I understand. Your situation is different. You're okay. I was listening to John Kilpatrick on the other night, and he was speaking about how the church is changing, you know, their titles. There was a day when you would look at a man and you say, man, that guy, he was a preacher. And everybody knew what you meant, that he preached fire, hell, brimstone. He preached the word of God. But today, they're so ashamed that they can't preach the gospel, so they change their titles as life coach. and other titles. They don't want to be called as a pastor. They want to be, just call me a life coach. I'm life coaching you through this game. No. Jesus says, you're apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists. And you've got a call on your life. And that's what you're here for. You're here for a call. And you're to speak the truth of God's word. But the church is on trial today in America. The church is on trial. We are being persecuted if we speak the truth. This message would be censored today. This message would be taken off of Facebook and off of other places because I dare to speak the truth. But we're being persecuted. The church, and in many forms and fashion, the church is persecuting itself. Because we have one pastor telling you what this word says, and the other pastor telling you what he wrote in his book says, to make you feel good. Now, I want you to feel good, but I want you to feel good because you heard the truth. It doesn't matter if you liked it or not, that you feel good that you heard it. Because you can decide what to do with it. But you're not going to be able to stand before the Lord and tell him that on March, what is the day, the 17th, 16th, April the 16th. We're not even in March. We're in April. But you're not going to stand before the Lord and say, well, back on April the 16th in 2023, the pastor said this. No, you're not going to catch me on that. I'm going to tell you the truth. And he's going to say, you remember that Sunday? Yeah, I remember that. But the church, we're persecuting ourselves. And Jesus says there's two kingdoms, his kingdom and an earthly kingdom. The church today can't make up its mind which kingdom they want to be in. They can't make up their mind. Do we want his kingdom, preach his kingdom, preach what he preached? Or do we want to preach an earthly kingdom, a message that makes everybody feel good and everybody accepted? His kingdom, I like his kingdom on Sunday. But I like the earthly kingdom Monday through Saturday. And that's where we try to play many times. We try to play the fence. Sorry, Pastor, you asked me to preach. You didn't tell me what to preach. But the Lord did. That's why I labored with it, trying to get his take on it. His kingdom is not of this world. It doesn't look anything like this world. It doesn't act like anything of this world. His kingdom will never fit into an earthly kingdom. It'll never fit. Matthew in chapter 6, verse 10, it says, we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You prayed that prayer? His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's it mean? What's it mean? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. One way you can look at this verse, it's kind of simple. You rule out what God forbids, and you rule in what God commands. Put that real simple. When we say kingdom of God, we're also called kingdom of heaven in Christianity, the spiritual realm over which God reigns as king, or the fulfillment of earth, fulfillment on earth of God's will. You know, it says, Jesus says this in Mark, or it says this about Jesus in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. It says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. You know, we talk about the kingdom. What is it talking about here in this? That time is fulfilled in this. Jesus is saying, repent. Time is fulfilled in the salvation of man. It's time for man to be saved. This is what he was talking about here. He was talking, it's time to repent. Let the fulfillment of the righteous of heaven come to earth. Let the fulfillment of righteousness in heaven, let it come to earth. And how does it come to earth? When you get born again and you're a new creation and old things have passed away. It says, behold, all things have become new. You're a new creation. You know, too much of the church is confused about the kingdom of God or the kingdom we're in. The earthly kingdom says that if we preach truth, if we preach truth, we are haters. And if I preach the truth of the word of God, I am labeled and put on the terrorist list. Do you know that? That most preachers in the gospel today, if you preach the truth, you're put on a terrorist list. And I pity every preacher that's not on that list. I pity every preacher that's not on that list. We need to preach the truth. That's why so many water down the gospel. They're building the third kingdom, their kingdom, building their kingdom, building their numbers. They're taking the message of Christ and they're adapting it to fit with the sins of the world, the sins of the government. They're allowing the government to tell you what to preach in your pulpit. I thought the separation of church and state worked both ways. I thought they want it both ways. They don't want me to say anything political about them and their lies and their sins and their wrongdoing, but they want to tell me that I can't preach what this word says when they don't know what it says. So they want it both ways. You can't have sin and righteousness. You can't have it both ways. It's one way or the other. All the Facebook people says, what happened? It just went off air. That's where you come to church, you get the rest of the story. They want it to fit into this earthly kingdom. But we must seek the truth and we must preach the truth at all cost. There's a gentleman that comes visits quite often. He was here in the beginning of the founding of the church. And as a matter of fact, I think he was in here last Sunday, Brother Joe. And Brother Joe wasn't the most popular man, but everybody knew him. A lot of them knew him as a crazy guy, or the fanatic. And I don't say this embarrassing him. I say this to, as a badge of honor to his character. Because even though he knew people mocked, his message never changed. Salvation. You got to live right. And I was at home one day, and this woman came to her church. Her husband, he didn't come, but he went to another church. And one day I was there visiting, having a cup of coffee, and he just got real bold. And he said, you know, one of the guys that's the biggest guy in your church, and this and that. And, you know, he's mocked and laughed because of all of this. And I remember to this day what I told the guy. I said, well, when he stands before the Lord, he won't have any apologies. And, you know, when we stand before the Lord, Will we have to apologize? Will we have to shamefully, you know, accept, well done, come in? It may not be well done, but it says, come on in, because you kept Jesus in your heart. But sometimes we think keeping Jesus in our heart is keeping our mouth shut and not speaking. I told you I labored over this. But, you know, God won out, so I'm just giving it to you. You got a great pastor. You don't have to love me. You just love him. He does a great job. In John 8, verse 31 and 32, it says, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Another translation says, and the truth will make you free. So how many want to be free in this day and time from the sinful nature of the world? You want to be free and live without condemnation and without guilt and without shame, then it's the truth that will make you that way. It's not the apostle or the pastor. It's the truth that will make you that way. And it's time that, you know, the popular saying is put on your big boy pants and you bear the truth, or the girls, they say in theirs, put on the, what are they, big girl pants and speak the truth. But many people can say that they got saved, but they can't say they got free. Many people can say, I've got saved on such and such date, but they cannot say, I got set free. This is sinking time. Let it sink in, let it soak. Don't brew and fester, let it soak in. Or that I say to you, truth. True, truth. And that's when Paulus says, what is truth? A German philosopher, Arthur Schopenhauer, once said that all truth passes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Many times when we hear the truth, it's ridiculed. And it's ridiculed by those that don't know the gospel, that has never read the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says the second phase is it is violently opposed. And it's sad to say that there's Christians sitting in the churches today that are taking this Bible and reading his words and violently opposing what this word says. Homosexuality is a sin. Not because I said it, because this word says it. And there's people violently opposing that today. That does not mean that we do not like them. We love all sinners. Turn to your neighbor and say, he loved me. And he knew what I was. I'm thankful that he loved me. I'm not talking about me loving you. I'm talking about he loved you. And he knew what you were. Give you a revelation. He knows what you are today, too. He knows. He knows. Are you a hypocrite? He knows. I may never know. You know, I've said this all of my life. You can fool some men some of the time. You may even fool some men all the time. But you'll never fool God anytime. He knows. Amen? You enjoying this today? The third, but God is truth itself. You have to, it is accepted as being self-evident. The third is accepted as being self-evident, so obvious that there is no need for proof. That's where you have to come. You have to come. I missed a quote a while ago. You know, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And until I used to say it all the time. But you know what God told me, Susan? He said, I said it. That settles it whether you believe it or not. Whether you believe it or not, it's settled. Feels like I've been up here a long time. That's what they've been thinking. I still got time on the clock. Game's not over. But we must ask ourselves, what stage of truth do I receive the Word of God in? Am I receiving the Word of God as this? I'm ridiculing the Word, or is it I oppose the Word, or I'm all in to what this Word says? I'm here to tell you today, I'm all in to what this Word says. Do I understand every word of it? No. Do I believe it's all true? Yes. Do I believe that we live by every word of this Bible? Yes. That's what I believe. In John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is God exists is self-evident. He is a creator. If you don't think God is a creator of all things, go get your own oxygen. Quit using his. Ephesians chapter 12, verse 10. The preacher sought to find acceptable words that was written was upright, and what was written was upright, words of truth. I challenge every preacher to find words of truth to preach. Words of truth to preach. Proverbs 12, 17. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. He who speaks truth declares righteousness. 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15, and I went back and I put this down in the King James Version. The first scripture I ever memorized is right here. First scripture. And it says, to study, to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What I try to live my life by. I led the ministry by this word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There it is, King James Version. I know that made somebody happy today because I quoted out of the King James Version. Brother Charles, thinking about you during worship. This Charles is Colin's father. He visits us when he's down here. He wants to make sure Colin is still going to a good church. Because I believe you'd pull him out if he wasn't. But I just felt like the Lord said to tell you that it hasn't been in vain. Your work, your prayers, your endless teaching and reaching out has not been in vain. Not only to your children, but to others. And the Lord says that he's pleased with your life. He's been pleased with you. And the Lord said his hand is on you and that he gives you the strength. But the Lord says keep on speaking because there's still some people you need to touch. So he's not through with you yet. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Study to show yourself approved. John 1, 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and Truth. That's what he was full of. Truth. Jesus was truth. And then Jesus didn't leave us. He talked about the Holy Spirit. Got to throw something in about the Holy Spirit to make Lou happy. So, but the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 15:26, "But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, and He will come to you from the Father, and He will testify all about Me." I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost. Anytime that you're in doubt, anytime that you're wavering, all you have to do is call upon the Holy Spirit to guide and to lead you. And He leads you in all truth. He can't lead you astray or any other way. He'll lead you in all truth. John 16:13. "But when the Spirit of Truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. And He will not speak of His own, but will tell you what He has heard. And He will tell you about the future." Truth. What is truth? Is it what you believe? Or is it this word? Is it what that motivational speaker says? Or is it this word? Is it, let's get real, is it that guru on search engines and Facebook and internet, or is it this book? It's this book. It's this book. Let God be true and every man a liar. What God has said is true. What God has said is true. And we have to take His truth. We have to apply it to our life, but we have to speak it to others' lives. We have to tell people what's right and wrong. We have to love people. We're not haters. We're not condemners. We're not their judge. God is their judge. I was reminded this week when I was reading the passages of Scripture that there were Jesus was crucified. There was two men, one on the left, one on the right. And the one on the left mocked Jesus, cursed Him. The one on the right said, "Why? We've been judged, rightly so. We deserve this punishment. He doesn't." And he said, "Jesus, remember Me when you go into Your kingdom." And He said, "You'll be with Me this day in paradise." A few years ago, I had to preach a funeral. And if I had to tell you this man's life story, from birth up until 2 hours before his death, there wouldn't be a person in here that would say he needs to be in heaven. There would not be a person in here, if I told you his story and left it nothing out and told you all truth of his story, you would say, "Yeah, he missed it." I walked into the church to do the funeral, and a Christian man said, "I pity you today." He said, "Because that man has done nothing in his life but drink, curse, womanize." He said, "I want to see how you preach him into heaven." That's what he told me. Well, first of all, I can't preach anybody into heaven. But I can testify that on his deathbed, 2 hours before he died, he grabbed Sister Becky and me, tears running down his face. "I want to be saved. I want to give my heart to Jesus." And we prayed with him a sinner's prayer. His countenance changed. His face changed. You could see love rolling out for this man. And he gave his heart to Jesus. And 2 hours later, he was in paradise. He was in heaven with Jesus Christ. That's the power of this word. That's the truth of this word. So it doesn't matter if you're young, teenager. Doesn't matter if you're old, facing death. The truth of this word, Jesus came to save you. And it tells us that if we will confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we accept Him, that we shall be saved. And no man can take that away from you. There's no other way that a person can enter heaven without accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and asking, because Jesus came preaching repentance. Repentance means I turn away from that sin. That's the kingdom of God. So we must teach. I don't care what lifestyle you're in. And I don't put homosexuality any higher or lower than a drunkard. I don't put them any higher or lower than a liar. I don't put them any higher or lower than a gossiper. I don't put them any more category than the person that just steals to eat. We love them all. We love the sinners. We once were one of them. We preach the gospel. We tell the truth. If you don't tell the truth, you don't love people. There's no way you can let a child, a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker boldly march into hell if you love them or care for them without telling them the truth. That's the message that Jesus wants. That was the message. It's not about this kingdom. It's not about fitting into the political correct or fitting into this. It's standing boldly and declaring the word of God. And I pray that you will boldly take the word of God and apply it to everything in your life. And if you're here today and you say, I'm a sinner. I've been living the lie. I've been confessing to be saved, but I'm not set free of this addiction or this sin or this or that, and I want to restore my life, then today, could be the last moment, the last hour. We're in the last days. I have preached many sermons that people were sitting in the service that morning and were dead that evening. I made that statement a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago. Your mom was sitting right back there. I wasn't preaching to her about this, but I shared that. She left. 30 minutes later, was in a hospital, and they didn't think she was going to make it. The grace of God, the glory, the power of God saved her life. She's alive. Amen. I don't know. I'm not a fortune teller. I can't look into your life and tell you you're going to make it or you're not going to make it. I can look at your life. If you're living in that sin, you're not going to make it. And I'll be truthful in that. That's not judging you. That's just telling you what the word says. But you have to make the decision in your heart. I'm going to live by the truth. I'm going to live by what the kingdom. I want to be part of His kingdom. Stand to our feet if we can. If you need prayer for salvation, repentance, if you need to make an altar where I just want to come and talk to Jesus after this word, then that's up to you. I'll leave you alone, let you talk to Him. He's not going to change from what His word says, though. He He's not going to tell you, well, you're okay. He's going to tell you what this word says. Today we got to get right with God. And I say that because I believe, like I said in the beginning, the church has lost its urgency of the gospel. We're still thinking that we got plenty of time. We're still thinking that we're that teenager mentality. Life's in front of me. I've got years. But we can't look at it today and say, I've got years. Jesus is coming back.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.